Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
There's an increased demand and need for foster care in Ireland. The opportunity to foster these days is open to married, single, same-sex couples, people with disabilities, older generations, and for people who work who are previously discounted. Christina and Susie, who are a same-sex couple, who foster here in Ireland. They're going to tell us about their motivation behind fostering and what encouraged them to do it. Good afternoon, Christina and Susie.
Good afternoon, Anna.
Hi, thank you for joining us. Tell us about your experience first. The guidelines have changed, which feels like we're in the modern world now. Fantastic to hear all of that qualification criteria has completely changed these days. Talk to us about your journey. Christina. I'll pick one of you.
I was waiting to see how this was going to work. So basically back in 2017, we started exploring the world of fostering. So it started by going to an information session in a local hotel, and we spoke with foster carers, we spoke with social workers. I'd done a lot of reading and research as well. And we knew for our own reasons we weren't going to be able to have our own kids. And we were club leaders at the time as well, so we knew that we enjoyed hanging around with kids. And we thought, well, sure, if we can look after 30 of them on a weekend camping, I'm sure that we'll be well able to look after one or two in our own home. So we made inquiries then with Orchard Fostering, where it was an agency, and they got back to us. And yeah, it just kind of went from there.
So tell us, Susie, about the first experience. Who joined you in your house and how did it work out?
And the first experience we had was placement on emergency basis. It was two brothers that needed emergency care for a couple of weeks because their mum wasn't able to look after them for a specific reason.
Sure.
So, needless to say, first placement, nerves are high. It's exciting. It's nervous. But we had two lovely boys who were 9 and 15.
I was just about to ask you the age, and they were brothers coming together.
Yeah. Yes, they were picked up from school. They didn't have anything with them, only a pair of boxing gloves and their school bags.
Really?
So that in itself was challenging. That luckily we lived close to a Tesco. It was open till 11 o'clock, so we could get the bare essentials like underwear and socks and clean T-shirts for the next day. And they were very appreciative. Christmas after they had left us, we got a message. Christina got a message from the older boy thanking us for what we'd done for him in the 2 weeks they were with us.
So this is like a safe haven that these two boys are sent to?
Yes.
Okay. And how long would they stay with you, or how long did they stay with you?
Those two boys stayed for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then they were returned home because mum was in the position to look after them.
Okay. And how did you feel? How did you feel during it, first of all? Susie?
It was exciting but challenging because it was our first placement, but we've worked out, especially with kids in a club setting, food is always a brilliant icebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
What do they like to eat? And once you find out what they like to eat, then you work on to their activities. As I said, they came with boxing gloves, so we enrolled them in a local boxing club at Pay As You Go. So that was able to help them express themselves, and it felt, okay, I can get rid of all my frustration of the situation here. And yeah, but it was good. It was nice.
Food and sports.
We built up a little routine straight away, that it was like bath time, hot chocolate and bed. That was kind of the start of it.
Right. And do you think that that routine would be very important for two boys like that?
From our experience from the 7 different children we've had, routine is vital.
Yeah, they thrive on it.
They thrive on it. They know what to expect next. They know that, yes, once I have my hot chocolate, I'm off to bed. Or, yes, after I have my bath, it's bedtime. And it's the wind down. You're doing the same thing. You don't deviate much off of the routine unless you have pre-warned. because you have to remember these children don't know all from Adam.
Yeah.
But you need to let them know what's coming next.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen next. And then once you build that trust by saying, this is what we're going to do now, and then you tick off that this is what's next, or this is the plan for this weekend, you go through your list, and then they can say, okay, well, she's done what she said she was going to do.
Yeah, we can trust her.
Yeah. And that's the hardest and can be most challenging. But yet again, when a child comes into care, into your care, there's a honeymoon period because they're afraid of being moved on. I'll do everything they want me to do.
Okay.
And it can be 6 months or it could be 6 weeks before you see the child relaxing, taking a breath and being themselves.
Of course. And like ourselves, every child is different, aren't they? They're all going to kind of loosen up or share experiences at different times.
Yes, but at least you've built the trust in the honeymoon period. If you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Because you've built up the routine, you've built up the trust. So they know they're safe with you. And then once they feel safe is when they open up.
Yeah. Do you learn much about yourselves as a couple during this process? Christina.
You do, yeah. You do, yeah. The initial, even when you're going through the assessment process, so when you start off, you're assigned an assessing social worker and they come out and you've got an awful lot of visits to go through, and it can take up to, I think it took, our assessment took roughly 6 months. I think they're working on trying to get it a bit quicker. I think it can be quicker. But we were able to take breaks as we needed as well, because everything is brought up. You have to do an assessment of your own parents' parenting style. You have to go through your past relationships. You have to basically, no stone's left unturned. And it's a very, very detailed report. And yes, during that process, you do learn a lot about each other, because it's questions like you wouldn't even think of asking somebody.
Sure. Yeah. You've never had a chat about yourselves before.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's all very necessary, because you see why, when the kids come into your care, you see why that process needs to be so detailed. But then throughout, when you are actually actively fostering, then you learn more about each other and how you work as a team and how you work as a couple, because kids test all that. In regular families, kids test relationships. And we kind of feel like that some of the situations we've gone through, if we can get through all them, we can get through anything. We're a real solid team. Like,
that's fantastic, because after the trust comes familiarity. And I'm speaking of my own children, where they just start to push boundaries. Do you know, any child will.
Yeah, they do. They do. And
absolutely.
You'll find maybe even more so with children that have come into care, because they've been used to maybe a certain way of being parented. And they may not have had many rules or boundaries before.
Mm-hmm.
And they will test absolutely everything to see how far they can go. Sometimes it's challenging, but once myself and Susie are on the same page, generally everything works out.
It's so important, isn't it? Like any parenting journey, you need to be singing off the same hymn sheet. Can I ask you, and I'm just thinking, I know you've had lots of children. Well, you've had seven children. Can I ask about the two boys, just going back, because I'm now thinking of myself in your shoes, and I'm thinking after 2 weeks, I'm attached to them. How does that process go? Christina.
It was absolutely heartbreaking when we had to say goodbye. I remember that morning vividly, because we had to pack up their stuff and they went on a bus off to school. We live in the Midlands and they were in Dublin, and they were travelling by bus to Dublin to go to school because we didn't know how long they were going to be staying with us. So they kind of keep in the same school and everything until maybe there's a plan put in place. So they went off on the bus, and I remember it was a dark January morning and the two of them looking out the bus window, waving and crying. The two of them were in tears. And that never leaves you, you know. But you know then that, and it was only 2 weeks, you know that you made a difference.
Do you know what? You haven't just made a difference. You've probably changed their lives forever. It's incredible. And I feel really emotional. I can see the two of them on the bus. That's really hard. And I think that must be the hardest part about the fostering process. But well done to you both. You're making a huge impact on the formative lives of children in Ireland. Christina and Susie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks. No problem at all, Anna. Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.